Hello, and thanks for tuning in to this episode of the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode is presented by Ken Holsberry. Ken is the associate minister at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ. Let's listen now to Ken's message.
This morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. Anytime you get the chance to celebrate the birth of a baby, it's a good time. Bob is grinning from ear to ear right now as I say that because his grandson is sitting next to him. Bob's just one example, though. You know how silly grandparents are. We love new babies. There's something about the smell of new babies, the soft skin of new babies, the sounds new babies make, the joy that you see on the faces of people who are around new babies. There really is something about new babies that remind us of new beginnings, of new life, of just happiness and joy, of peace. And that's true of any new baby born, but how much more was it true of the baby Jesus? So true that even the angels, heaven could not contain the joy of the angels, and they came here to sing and shout, hallelujah. Praise be to God, rejoice, peace on earth to men. Love new babies. And so this is a great time of year. It's great and fun and hope-filled and joy-filled to celebrate the birth of a baby. But I want to tell you that as great as it is to celebrate the birth of a baby, there is even more reason to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus Christ, God said yes to every promise that He had ever made. And so Jesus coming and being born, we love the story and we focus on the miraculous nature of the birth and the angels' visits to Joseph and to Mary. We tell the story of the long, hard trip that Mary especially had to make as she makes her way to Bethlehem because of the census that's to be taken. We know the story about the fact that there's no room at the inn, and so Mary and Joseph have to go out to a stable. And we know and we tell the story of this little bitty baby, God made flesh, who came to earth and was first laid in a bed of hay in a manger, and He was wrapped in clothes. And we tell the story about the angels who came and sang and told the wise men to go. We tell the story about the star and the wise men who traveled across the face of the earth to come and worship. And we love all of that part of the story. And all of that is in Luke chapter 2. And we read through that. And we love to tell that part of the story. But there are some things that happen, some things that are told in Luke chapter 2. In four little verses, starting in verse 21, that when we tell the story, we skip right over. We really pay no attention to, and in fact, probably in a class, we would say, well, this is an example of how Luke gives us details that corroborate the story, and Luke does give us details, but there's a reason for the details that we're going to read in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 25, because we are going to see in three small things that we just read right through because we don't really maybe understand the importance that God said yes to every promise He ever made in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2 says, "For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Him." And another version says, "The yes to all of God's promises is Christ." So let's take just a few minutes to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, and we can see that God's plan that had been formed from the beginning when He sends Jesus the baby, it's not just the beginning, it is God saying yes. Luke chapter 2, verse 21, 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, He was named Jesus, the name given to him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for the purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered a sacrifice according to what was required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Three signs, three occasions, three events in these three verses. And the first promise that we read about, the first thing God is going to say yes to, is a sign. And it goes back to Genesis chapter 17. In verses 1 through 14 of Genesis 17, God records the promise that he made to Abraham. And the promise involved a sign of the covenant that God is making with Abraham. And God says, I want you, Abraham, and every male in your household and every male in all of Israel to wear the sign that marks them and reminds them of the covenant that I have made to say that you are mine. You are my people. I have chosen you among all the nations of the earth to bless. And out of you I will give descendants that are like the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. And from your descendants a king will come who will rule and save the world. That's the promise. That's the covenant. And in Genesis 17, God says, I'm going to mark you so that you will know and all will know that you belong to me and have a special relationship with me. The mark is circumcision. And on the eighth day, every male child born in Israel was to be circumcised and was to be marked as a sign, again, of this covenant and of all the rights, responsibilities, and blessings that they inherit as children of God. And so in Luke chapter 2, in just a few simple little words, Luke lets us know that like every other male child born in Israel, on the eighth day, the one who was named by the angels, Jesus, was circumcised. The one who was to fulfill the sign wore the sign. On that eighth day, Joseph held in his arms the one who was to fulfill the sign. Over in Colossians, we're told how Christ fulfills the sign. Colossians 2, verse 11 says that in Christ, we are all circumcised. We all wear the sign of God's promise to us that he is fulfilling. He made it to Abraham. He restated it to David. He restated it in the prophets. But he fulfills it, and God says yes to it in Jesus Christ. How does he do that? God says that by putting off our sinful nature and being baptized into Christ, we are raised up a new person by faith in the power of God. God said, you're going to be my special people. You're going to wear my name. I'm going to do great things through you. I'm making you my children. That's what he said to Israel through Abraham. Through Christ, he says it to all of us and to all who will come to him and who will give up their sinful nature and who will be baptized into Christ and raised in faith in the power of God. God will say, now I've marked you and you belong to me and you are mine and you are my sons and you are my daughters and you wear my name and you are my children. You are children of the King and you have spiritual blessings stored up for you in the heavenly realms and all will know that you are mine. And he did that through Jesus Christ. Goes on to say, God makes you alive in Christ and forgives you of all your sins. And so, in this eight-day-old infant in Joseph's arms, God said yes to a promise he had made 2,000 2,000 years earlier, and praise be to God, 2,000 years later, God is still saying yes. The second promise that God says yes to in these few verses is God says yes to your purity. Luke doesn't tell us this, but we know from going back to Leviticus chapter 12 that 40 days has passed since Jesus was born. In verse 22 of Luke says, "Then it was time for the purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child." And Leviticus chapter 12 tells us about that and says that 40 days were to pass by after the birth of a boy, and then a mother was to go to the temple and offer a sacrifice of purification. And she was to offer one-year-old, spotless, unblemished, perfect lamb and a pigeon or a dove. Or, if she was poor, she was to offer a pair of pigeons or a pair of doves. We know that Mary and Joseph were in the latter category. They were poor folks because verse 24 of Luke tells us that Mary offered that poorer sacrifice. She offered two pigeons or two doves. And so this poor couple from Galilee offered two birds as their sacrifice. And they gave the least sacrifice that the law allowed. And I want you to think about the fact that while Mary offered the least sacrifice the law allowed, God had already sent the greatest sacrifice that was needed. And in doing so, He gives us purity. Can you grasp that word? I don't know that I can. Because see, I know me. And I know the thoughts that go through my head. I know the words that form in my mouth. I know the things that I do and say and think. The things I've done that I'm ashamed of. We love that new birth because for a moment, we hold purity in our hands. And then we live and we get dirty. And so I don't know that I can grasp the idea of purity. But Mary was going to offer a sacrifice for purification. And Jesus has become the sacrifice for our purification. And Jesus makes us clean. And He makes us pure. And He makes us spotless and as white as snow. And Scripture uses allusions and metaphors to try to help us understand what it is we become in Christ. Purity, purification. Our sins are cast in Christ. Purity, purification. Our sins are cast away as far as the east is from the west. Because of the sacrifice that Jesus himself. I cannot purify myself. I can't scrub hard enough or wash long enough to get clean. But Jesus can clean me. And Jesus can purify me. Paul wrote to Titus and said that's exactly what Jesus did in chapter 2, verse 14. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to purify for himself a people that are his very own. Mary was offering a sacrifice for her physical purity while holding the sacrifice that would be offered for her spiritual purity. Mary and Joseph were too poor to offer the lamb, but in their arms they held the perfect, spotless lamb. And in Jesus Christ, God said yes to our purity. The last promise is the promise of redemption. It's my favorite. It's rich. It goes back to Exodus. In Exodus chapter 12. But back in Luke, 40 days have passed since the night the angels sang, since the night the star moved over Bethlehem. The rite of circumcision and the rite of purification have been performed, and now it's time for Mary and Joseph to present Jesus in Jerusalem and to dedicate him to the Lord. Exodus chapter 12, the end of the plagues that God has rained down on Egypt because they hold his people in bondage and slavery. The plagues have been performed, and now it comes to the last plague. And the plague is that the firstborn in all the land will die. Let that sink in a minute. The firstborn will die. The angel of death is going to hover over the land to claim what's his. But God says to his people, take the blood of a perfect, spotless, unblemished lamb. Sacrifice the lamb. Take the blood and cover your doorway. And when the angel of death passes over Egypt, he will pass over those who are covered in the blood. And on that night, that terrible night, the cries of mothers and fathers carried through the night all over the land of Egypt as those who were not covered in the blood were claimed by death. And then move to Exodus chapter 13. And there the Lord makes a commandment, and he says that from now on, every firstborn male in Israel is to be dedicated to me. Every firstborn male is mine, says the Lord. And the firstborn of animals were to be brought and sacrificed. And the firstborn of man was to be redeemed. I love God is setting this up. God knows all along exactly what he is going to do. And in Exodus chapter 15, he gives a sign. And he says, when your children ask what this means, you tell them that this is a sign and a symbol that the Lord rescued Israel from bondage with a mighty hand. And you remember what he did. And so, from that day until the day that Jesus is brought, every Jewish mother and father presented their firstborn son to the Lord. And in effect, we're saying, you gave him to me, but I give him back to you. And then God had one more thing that he did. And he said that the child would be redeemed back. And so after presenting the child in the temple, mother and father, according to the law, would pay 5 shekels, 5 silver coins, and would buy back the child and raise him for the Lord. The whole doctrine of redemption is all through the story of God and his people. The doctrine of redemption, the doctrine of paying a price to buy back, of paying a price to redeem is central to the story of God's people, and that is the reason that the baby was born. That is the reason that the angels sang. It wasn't because he was a cute, beautiful, cuddly little baby. It was because God was finally saying, "Yes, it is time. I am about to redeem my people once and for all, and I'm going to buy them back." Because, folks, we deserve death. Paul says it in Ephesians. We deserve death. The wrath of God is what is due. The wages of our sin is death. And the angel of death who hovered over Egypt is anxiously awaiting the day that he can hover over every one of us and claim us as his own. But thanks be to God, he redeemed us. Thanks be to God, we are covered in the blood. A price was paid, not 5 silver coins. A much dearer price was paid. The blood of the perfect, spotless, unblemished Lamb. And those who are covered in that blood, he'll pass over. Because we belong to the Lord. Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 1. In Christ we are redeemed, we are bought back, and the price for our redemption was His blood. And folks, once redeemed by the Savior of the world, we are His. We are adopted, Paul says, into His family. We are sons and we are daughters of the King of the universe. We have been purchased by Him, and we belong to Him, and as His children, we share in the wealth of His grace and of His love and of His life. Without the blood, we share the same fate as the Egyptians. Death. But with the blood, death has no claim. Where, O death, is your sting? Because a child was born. Because God said, "Yes, it is time to redeem." And so, picture the scene. Take it in. Breathe it in deeply. Soak in every detail. Hear the sounds. See the sights of a mother and a father. Two young parents who walk in to the temple. Pause, take in the scene, soak up the meaning, the detail, all that is being fulfilled, because as those two parents walk into the temple in the presence of God, God had never been more present, because in their arms they held the Word made flesh. And they were bringing Him to devote Him, to dedicate Him, to consecrate Him to God. And that day, they redeemed Him with 5 silver coins. But the day was coming and has come that He redeemed them and all of us with His blood. And God said, "Yes, in Christ." One of the privileges that we have as redeemed sons and daughters is that we get to sit at His table. When the prodigal son came back home, he knew that home was better than any other place. And he knew himself and knew he didn't deserve to be there. So he said, "Can I just come back as a servant and as a slave, and I'll serve?" And the father ran to meet him and said no to slavery and yes to sonship. and said, "You're not going to serve at my table. I'm going to put on the best robe and the sandals and the rings, and we're going to kill the best calf, and we're going to have a celebration and a banquet and a feast, and you're going to sit at the Father's table as the Son." And so today, for those of us who have been redeemed, who have been bought back, who are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, we sit at His table and we eat with Him and we remember His birth, His death, and His resurrection and His ascension. And so let's remember that and eat as sons and daughters at this time.